This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
And today we are diving into the world of DNA with Dan Crane, forensic scientist and professor. Last time we talked, it was a lot about Brian Koberger when some of the DNA conversation was going on there. Today, though, we are going to be talking about the case of the Long Island serial killer and the accusations against who they believe to be the Long Island serial killer, Rex Heuermann. I just want to start with this because we are starting to hear about some DNA matching, pizza crust, those sorts of things. Walk us through here how DNA, what sort of DNA has been connected to Rex Heuermann in relation to the accusations of being the individual who killed the sex workers and left their bodies on Gilgo Beach.
Well, I wonder if you've had a chance to take a look at the bail document that was filed in regard to this particular case. I've just been browsing through it, actually, and it's got an awful lot of details about the investigation. It starts with a lead that the murderer was driving a white Chevy Avalanche. Mm-hmm. And that in turn helped them to identify Rex Heuermann as a suspect. And they started then to surveil his home. And that's where the DNA testing starts.
Yes.
So for three of the victims, the first three and the ones that he's currently charged with murdering, for three of the victims, they found female hairs that did not belong to the victims on the victims' bodies. One of those hairs was associated with a belt buckle that had been used to bind the victim. And the other two victims had duct tape on them, and there were human female hairs that weren't the victims on that duct tape. Mm-hmm. And so what they did is they, in July of 2022, so 12-some years after the murders, they did mitochondrial DNA testing on those female hairs that were not from the victims, but were on the victims' bodies. And then at the end of July, July 21st in 2022, they collected from the trash outside of Heuermann's home 11 bottles and did mitochondrial DNA testing on those 11 bottles and found that there was a match between the mitochondrial DNA they find on those 11 bottles from the trash and the female non-victim hairs on the victims. And so that's what I think made the lights start flashing, right? And they figured, all right, we're on to something here. We really have, you know, they were exploring things based on what they found for the trucks. Mm-hmm. Match up. But now they felt that they were really onto something, to the point that they then did DNA testing on a male hair that was found on one of the victims and matched the mitochondrial DNA from that male hair on one of the victims to mitochondrial DNA that they found on some pizza crusts that Heuermann had discarded. And then that's when they knew they had their guy and arrested him and, pretty much gets us where we are today.
I want to ask about the female hairs. Did they match that? Was that matched to his wife, to Rex's wife, or were they matched to anyone?
I don't know that that has been officially established. I don't know that they've actually tested his wife, mm-hmm. but they did test 11 bottles that were collected from the trash mm-hmm. outside of his home that he shares with his wife. So, if it looks like a duck and sounds like a duck.
So, and that being said, and I want to talk about the decision that we're going to look at Rex here. in a moment. But mitochondrial DNA, for the audience, explain to us. I mean, there's lots of different types of DNA. What is mitochondrial DNA?
Well, mitochondrial DNA is the DNA that's associated with the mitochondria inside of our cells, as you might have guessed.
Okay.
Mitochondria are the bits of a eukaryotic cell that are involved with energy metabolism, so helping us be able to burn sugars and such so that we can move our arms and legs and so forth. Every mitochondria within our cells has a relatively small piece of DNA associated with it. And there are on the order of many hundreds, if not a few thousand, mitochondria inside of each one of our cells. And so as a result of that, for a low-level sample or a sample that's been through a lot, you know, a fire or something, you know, a building collapse, since there's so many more copies of the mitochondrial DNA inside of each cell than there is of the nuclear DNA, it's often possible to get DNA test information off of the mitochondria when you wouldn't have been able to get it off of the nuclear DNA. The drawback and the reason that labs don't just go to the mitochondrial DNA right out of the gate is that the mitochondria are inherited exclusively maternally for all intents and purposes. There are some interesting exceptions. But what that means is that all the mitochondria that you have, Tony, and all the mitochondria that I have are mitochondria that we got from our mothers. And it also means that any mitochondria that our children might have are not ours, but are rather their mothers. And that in turn causes them to not be as discriminating, because pretty much everybody who's got a mitochondria, who's got a maternal relative, is going to have the same mitochondrial DNA. So the statistics that you attach are much less impressive than the statistics you get for the nuclear DNA tests, where the numbers, the weight of the evidence is usually described in the quintillions or the quadrillions, and such. For mitochondrial test results, the statistics are usually more in terms of thousands or maybe tens of thousands. So they can be useful, but again, jurors these days are expecting numbers in the quintillions, and when they hear thousands, they think something's wrong.
Even though it's, the likelihood is extremely low. I mean, if I'm understanding correctly, we have this home and two different mitochondrial DNA attachments found at the home, one from the soda bottles, one from the pizza crust, both matching the same mitochondrial DNA that was found on, it was at the burlap sacks that they found it on, if I'm understanding correctly, on the some of the victims.
You know, the burlap sack was where they found some of the hair. Duct tape is where they found some of these female hair.
So it was found on the victims, regardless of what it was. And so you have two different matches, two different, and then it goes back, but it goes back to the same property. That in itself has to raise some odds right there of the chances of not just one, but two matching the same area.
Right. You know, if you were to apply Bayes' theorem to this, you know, if these two things are independent of each other, and there's reason to argue that they are, you could multiply those numbers times each other. So if there was a 1 in 1,000 chance for one and a 1 in 1,000 chance for the other, the chance of finding both of those at the same time is 1 in 1,000,000.
You're consuming the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.